Good morning. Sorry about the late delay on Facebook, but we had some business to take care of before we got started this morning. If you will turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, we are coming to the end of these eight benefits of salvation. When I saw the one this morning, the one we're going to have this morning, I thought, well, it won't last long as I got to studying on the word and studying on it, and I figured out that it's going to take an entire message by itself, especially with the short message that we have this morning. In verse 1, the Lord says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that's the first benefit we have. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, that's how that peace is accomplished. By whom we also have access, that's our second one. It's wonderful to be able to talk to our Heavenly Father, isn't it? By faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice and hope, that's another one, and the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations work with patience, and patience and experience, and that's where we're at this morning, and experience hope. And hope makes it unashamed. So it's a blessing to be a child of God and to receive the blessings that God has in store for us as his children. We never need to forget that God loves us. Amen. And nothing we ever will do will ever cause God not to love us. God loved us at his own will, at his own choosing. He will love us eternally because he loves us with eternal love. Nothing we did caused him to love us. Nothing caused him to choose us to be his children. Nothing caused him to save our souls. Amen. All of this was done by the grace and mercy of our holy Heavenly Father. And therefore, we look to him and all the blessings that he bestowed upon us as children by adopting us as his children, telling us, that tells us exactly what he means by his children. We are literally the children of God and will be in the kingdom of God. Above the angels, above every other creature is his children. So we got down to talk about tribulations, persecutions, and trials in our life. And we talked about how that works patience. Now, we find out that in verse 4, that patience works experience, and experience works hope. But let's look at experience this morning. And what in the world could God mean by experience? Well, let's study on it for a minute. Strong's defines the word experience this way. It means test. It means test by implication. It means trustness. Then Strong says it means proof. So Strong defines it that way. So it's not only a test, or not only to test us, it also means trustness and our trustness of God. And then the main word it means is proof. It's proof to us of God's love. It's proof to us of what God is doing for us. See, a child of God will never fully appreciate God if they never learn what God does for them in their life. If they never learn the sovereignty of God, they'll never learn and understand how much it means to be a child of God. Because they don't know what God's doing for us. People look at things like luck, coincidence, just happening. But no, nothing is that. Nothing is any of those things for us as Christians. Everything in our life is the providence of God, the blessings of God, even in trials and tribulations, even in persecutions. And once we walk through peace, access, hope, tribulations and trials, persecutions, and then patience, then we learn through them experience. And what we learn through experience is we learn to trust God, don't we? We learn to trust him and what's going on in life. So we no longer sit around and worry about what's going to happen. We no longer go crazy trying to figure it all out. We look at everything from birth to death. We look at everything as God's doing for us. This way, God can tell us in Romans 8:28 that all things truly do work together for our good. It's hard to figure that out, isn't it? Until you understand what God means. And what God means is everything I do is I do it for you. And everything I do for you is to your benefit, even in trials and tribulations and persecutions and all these things, they're all for your good. You just got to realize it. So Vine defines the word this way. The process of proving, Vine says. So the Greek word is used in the scripture. It is defined as proof or the process of proving. And what's the process of proving is understanding God, all the other things before it. And once we get down those things, then we reach the point of experience. And that is proving to ourselves. Brother Weiss, a writer of commentaries, in his word study says, tried integrity, a state of mind which has stood the test. That is the test. Trials, tribulations, persecutions, happenings in your life is a test for you. That's what he's talking about here. He goes on to say the process has already been experienced by tribulations. He goes on to say the verbal form is, he gives the Greek word, D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. And he says to put to the test for the purpose of approving and finding that person tested means to put one's approval upon him. He's exactly right. I got to go on. I can't get too deep into that. So we go to our second point. So what does this word experience or proof mean for the believer or to the believer? As a Christian, we must understand that all things are in God's hands. That's the very first thing. If you're going to ever be satisfied in life, you have to understand that everything is in God's hands. Everything. It don't matter what it is. Our life, my life, your life, all of our lives, even the aborted baby's lives, everything is in God's hands, predetermined and ordained of God to be what it is. People look at the world and they say, how could God ever allow this? This is God's plan. Do you not understand that we're heading to a tribulation period? Not us, but the world. Jesus is going to come and take us out before that time. But the world is heading to a tribulation period. The Lord said it will wax worse and worse. Deceivers will be deceived by other deceivers. People get all excited about this transgenderism. Folks, we've had abortion. Look at all the filthy stuff we've had in this nation. Look at all the sin our nation has delivered to the world. Most of the world functions by what we do here in the United States of America. And look at what we're presenting to them. Don't get excited about it. It's all in God. It's just like abortion. It's just like gayism. It's just like everything else. It's all the ordained will of God. God allows everything or causes things for a purpose. God never caused sin, but he did create sin for his own glory, did he not? So when we get to this point, we've reached the point of our proof or our trustness in God. No believer truly trusts God until we have put all things into his hand. We have to put it into his hand and we have to leave it in his hand. Now, how do we leave it in his hand? You forget about it. You take it to God and you say, Lord, this is what it is. Please deal with it. And then you quit worrying about it. You just pray about it, pray about it, pray about it. Always let the Lord know. Whenever it comes to your mind, just take it back to the Lord. It is amazing at some of the things God will do to attract our attention to Him. We can't forget the Lord. We have to remember Him in every phase of our life, in every walk of our life, in every step of our life. Excuse me, my allergies are getting to me again this morning. So in reality, to us as Christians, it's called proof under trial. God bringing all these things, trials, persecution, to cause our faith to only be in Him. Because only He can deliver. You got someone in a hospital? Don't depend on the doctors. Depend on God. He's the one that directs the hearts of the doctors. He's the great physician. He's the greatest physician of all of them. Remember, before there was ever a surgical tool, God took a man and opened him up, took a rib, closed him up, and healed him. God did all. He said, well, God didn't really. God did that. God said He did that. He did that. He physically, literally opened up Adam and took a rib. He didn't just reach in and grab it. He said He literally opened him up and took the rib to make a woman. God's the great physician. I'm not saying don't have faith in your doctors. I'm saying trust God. Don't ever have too much faith in a man or a woman or anybody or anything else. This is where all these things in our life, this is why they happen, to bring us to that point. God causes things to happen to get our attention sometimes. Christians are responsible to the Lord. They're responsible to pray to Him. They're responsible to worship Him, glorify His name, honor Him. And if they don't, God may put you in a position. That's all you can do. Our experiences or our proof in life, in our hearts, is what delivers us to our blessed hope in God. He is what we have hope in, isn't He? Basically, God brought it to us. And only God can deliver us to it. Isn't it that beautiful thing? It certainly is to me. When you learn it. See, a lot of Christians haven't learned these things. But they need to. We all need to. And it starts with understanding that God is sovereign in all things. Third. This is all about God's love for us. God said we loved Him because He first loved us. Most of you can quote that scripture, can't you? Sure, it's 1 John 4:19. God loved us first. It's all about God's love. Everything is about God's love. God causes these persecutions, trials, tribulations in our lives because He loved us. How would his love be if He never cared what we did? Oh, you ain't going to church, that's fine. Oh, you don't read your Bible, that's fine. Hey, it's going to be your judgment. I may say that, but that's not what God says. God said, if you're not doing these things, I'll put you in a position where you're going to do them. Because He loves you. He loved you more than you love each other, more than you love yourself, more than anyone else in your entire life loved you. Your Father loved you. He loved you so much He sent His own Son to this world to die on that cross for your sins. Therefore, everything is about God's love for us. He loved us so much that He gave His Son. Not that He gave Him, but how He gave Him. to die on that cross. Go to 1 John chapter 4, verse. I just quoted verse 19. Let's go to verse 15 in 1 John 4. And the Lord says, and stay in 1 John. Put a finger over there. We're going to be there for a while. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, he says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Think about that. Let that soak in. We trust and confess Jesus Christ in our hearts as our Savior. God comes in. How do you think you did that? You're depraved. You're not ever going to believe on Jesus Christ to be saved. You don't have enough faith in you to be saved. So the Holy Spirit comes in your heart. He dwells there. And he's never going to leave. He's going to be there. As long as we're on this earth, he will be there. But it says that that God dwells in us. Just like he did Jesus. Look at verse 16. In the first part of verse 16. And we know and believe the love of God, know and believe the love that God had to us. How do we know? Because he told us he did, didn't he? Did God tell you he loved you? He said he loved you before you ever loved yourself or nothing, or loved him. No, people say, I was born loving God. You weren't born loving God. You didn't love God till you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even know what love of God was until you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Lost people do not love God. They may love a form of a God. They may have this imagination God that they love. You know, like little Jimmy has his little friends and you can't see them, but they're there. That's the kind of God that a lot of people worship. A God they really don't know. They just want him to be what they want him to be. But our God is serious, isn't he? He's real, isn't he? And he loved you before you ever loved him. Because he loved you before the foundation of the world. When did God come to love us? You know, Brother McCool and I were talking, Steve McCool and I were talking a while back. We were talking about election. But we can add the same thing to the love of God. When did God come to love you? Tick-tock. No, you can't, can you? Because God has always loved you. God never changes. So whatever God was before anything else, God always loved you. I can't explain it. I mean, you eventually come to love someone or come to love something. You're not born. See, God wasn't born. God is an eternal being. So you take that to election. Election is what? Choosing, isn't it? Election means that God chose a remnant before the foundation of the world to be his children. And as I was talking to Steve McCall, I said, when did he come? When did he choose us? See, he didn't. And he didn't. Election is for our benefit, to make us understand. God never sat down one day and started loving us. God never sat down one day and started choosing us. So how do you know that? Because God doesn't change. God is eternal. His mind is eternal. His wants and wills are eternal. His ordained wills are eternal. And I can't explain it all. I wish I could. My mind is not that deep, and no one else's mind is either. They may give us a shot to explain it. They may make you think they understand it. But in reality, no man can understand anything eternal. We don't know what eternal is. We don't know what it's like to be without sin. We don't know what it's like to be in the kingdom of God, as a child of God. We don't know these things, do we? We just know a little about them, don't we? One day we'll know, won't we?
Amen.
Albert Barnes said, we all have assurances that God has loved us. Don't you have it? I do. All Christians have that, do we not?
Amen.
If we're saved, we have an assurance that God loves us, don't we? And the, he goes on to say, and the fullest belief in the great fact of redemption by which he has manifested his love to us. In redemption, he's manifested that love to us.
Amen.
Our experience here, the word experience that we're looking at, is when we understand that. That's our growth, our experience. What? If you're a nurse, or if you're an air conditioning guy, or whatever you are, truck driver, you get experience over years, don't you? Mm-hmm. And you may go through this, and you say, boy, I ain't going to do that this time. I'm not going to be that stupid to do that this time. No, because it didn't work the first time or the second time. You've already got experience on that, don't you? That's what this word means. You grew in it. The Lord took you step by step by step by step and made you mature over time to reach that point of experience. When you come to know how God loved you, he loved me eternally. He never not knew me or not loved me or not cared for me. And I know by that my God will never let me down, ever. All right, I got 10 minutes. I got to get finished here. So let's go to verse 17 in 1 John 4. He says, herein is our love made perfect. Herein is our love made complete. Perfect means complete here. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Our love is made perfect in God and in Jesus Christ and their doing. Our faith and our hope are made perfect in God and on Christ and their doing. Our understanding, the love of God, understanding him. All of this goes back to that God's made us complete in him. We're not complete till we understand and learn of God.
Amen.
We're not complete till we learn that hey, you know what? I was born when God ordained me to be born. I will die when God ordained me to die. My life will be this, this, and this, and this, and this, because that's what God has ordained for me. There's a reason I didn't die at a certain time. One time a person robbed our store and had a gun in my head. Pointed right up on me. Put me in a freezer. I should have died. I didn't. Why? I ran a car into a telephone pole at 17 years old. I should have died. I can name probably 1,000 times in my life I should have died. Why didn't I? Because God set that time, didn't he? Every baby that wasn't born because of abortion or because of some other miscarriage or some other reason, God ordained it. People look at God in weird ways. You have to look at God as a sovereign being. Don't ask God where he was. Don't ask God why he didn't stop it. You just look at the Lord and you say, Lord, this is your will. I know it's your will. It doesn't mean it doesn't affect us. It doesn't mean that we don't cry at death. It doesn't mean that we don't cry at diseases. It doesn't mean that we don't get upset with things. But we have to, at a point, remember back to God and what God is doing. And when you can reach that point, that's your experience. Go to, I'm just going to read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Jane, you go there if you want to. We're going to go to Romans 8 in just a minute. I have to move on. I got another 8 minutes. So our understanding, the love of God, is understanding God. You will never be happy in life if you don't understand how much God loves you. My love and God's love for you isn't the same. I do love this church. I give my life for it. But my love and God's love is not the same. My thoughts and powers is not the same as God. Nothing is the same as God. So we have to understand that how great the love of God is for us. And the stronger you understand how great the love of God is for you, the more you'll understand what God means to you. I tell you, folks, just the fact that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to this world in the form of man, in the likeness of sinful flesh, to take on our sin, that's the cross, is more than even unthinkable. Why, Lord? So, this is what we understand in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. Look at the first part. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. That salvation is the gift of God.
Amen.
Gift to you. God gave you a salvation to redeem you, to make you whole, to make you accepted in the blood. Not a work. You didn't hurt it. Lest any man should boast. Now look at verse 10. Verse 10 goes right with this. It's not separate. It goes with it. For we are his workmanship. We are his creation. First in salvation, because the creation that we are in life is what he created in Christ Jesus. And he created them unto good works, which God hath, listen, before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, God has your entire life planned out. I'm not here in this pulpit and pastor this church by mistake. You certainly didn't put up with so many years of bad preaching to get to this point, which is still not that great, to get to this point. No, we did it because of God, didn't we? And we did it because this is what God wants. We cannot change what God wants. And once we understand that, then we reach that level of experience, don't we? Now go to Romans chapter 8 real quickly. I'm sorry, I'm trying to rush. We had a little business meeting. I'm trying to rush to get done. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. I love the scriptures. I love this passage of scripture. But it's just like Ephesians 2. You got to listen to it very closely. In verse 28, I quoted a while ago. For we know that all things work together for our good. All things? Yes. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Listen to verse 29. It goes with it, just like Ephesians did. For to whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called in time, and whom he called, he did justify, because you are justified today, and whom he did justify, them he also glorified. Your glorification is not complete. It will not be till Jesus returns and rips all these bodies out of the ground and raptures up the saints who are here, giving them new glorified bodies go along with their new glorified living spirits and their new glorified soul. then our salvation will be complete. Because that's what salvation is. It is to glorify us like unto Jesus.
Amen.
To have your proof in your life, to deliver your real hope, you must understand what God is doing and why he's doing them. You must know that all things do really work together for the good in your life. Real quickly, I got skipped on this. Go back to 1 John. And we're going to go to verse 18. Well, let's go back to verse 17, second part of it real quick. He says in the last part of verse 17 that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why?
Because we trust God, don't we?
Amen.
God's not going to forget anything. God's going to give you everything he promised.
Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but complete love, perfect love, complete love casteth out fear. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Because fear hath tormented us, doesn't it? There's nothing like being scared. There's nothing like being scared. You know what? We get scared of the government, we get scared of the IRS, we get scared of now the DOJ, the FBI, and the CIA. We just fear it all, don't we? You know?
Don't fear. We're God's children. If anything happens because God wanted it to, that's experience.
He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You're not complete. Because you fear. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Our experience, our proof is that God's love for us holds us together. It causes us to love him and not fear him. It makes us understand that God is our safety. God is where we belong. Jesus is where we belong.
Amen.
And as long as they love us, and that will be forever, for eternity, they will hold us. You're in the spiritual hand. Remember I said God don't have a hand. He doesn't. The spiritual hand of God. You're in the spiritual hand of Jesus. And you know what? They're not turning you loose. All the things that happen in your life happens because God ordained it. Don't blame God for things happening. God ordained it for a purpose. Everything has a purpose. God has a... He don't just do things. He has a purpose. Go to 2 Corinthians 5, and I'll end with this. I have 30 seconds left. I'm going to quote the last scripture, Romans 11, 36. I just can't let it go. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, he says, all things are of God. How many? All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Not some things. All things are of God. Everything's of God. People don't get so excited about woke. Don't call up there at Kohl's or Cracker Barrel or anywhere else and get on their employees. Don't criticize their employees because they're going, everybody's going woke, isn't it? Everybody's doing the boogie woogie, ain't they? Because they love it. I don't know why, but it makes them feel good. Joe Biden throws a big old gay flag behind him. Who cares? I don't care. I mean, I hate that it's at our White House, but it's okay. People put him in there to rule the place, so let's let him have his way. Now look at Romans chapter 11, verse 36. He's not going to do anything God won't mind to do. I guarantee you that. In Romans chapter 11, verse 6, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I'm going to leave you with that. Let's all stand. Brother Justin's going to come. Lead us in, I guess, amazing grace that is. Any reason to come, you come while he leads us in this song.